You're back on Stand with Nikki and Kelly Chewbacca. We've got Marjorie Dannenfelser with us. She's the president of Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America. You can find them at sbaprolife.org. For more episodes, look at our YouTube at The Stand Show. All right, Marjorie, we're in the middle of a fantastic discussion. And since the Dobbs decision, we're not the only ones having this discussion. It seems like a lot of families, friends, and colleagues are talking about abortion. So I wanted to ask you, our show is kind of focused on equipping people to take a stand for what they believe. What are three arguments that you would suggest people could make if they're in a conversation about this to be persuading their friends, family, and colleagues to be pro-life? What would you suggest are like three persuasive things that they could say that could turn the conversation?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know how many numbers I'll get to, but I'll tell you one thing. One is when people persuaded me to pause and think about what the position, the pro-choice position that I had was, they, number one, were very good listeners. And if you believe in the transcendence of truth, generally you're going to find that the more somebody who is speaking in falsehood or basically is saying things that don't logically or emotionally or spiritually jive, the more they talk, the kind of more it starts to unwind their own arguments. So I would say number one, listen well. And when you're listening, you do not have to contradict or counter every single thing that a person has said, but you can definitely listen to some seeds. And sometimes it's just a heart predisposition. Maybe there's something that happened in their life or a friend that they have or something that, who knows if they themselves had an abortion, perhaps their mother, someone that is very close to them, it's very likely that they do know somebody. And so you're listening there to the heart. So you know that it's not just a logical, philosophical argument about right and wrong, about is this a human being or not. It's also about the healing that needs to happen sometimes generationally, which includes friends, who we consider family members in so many cases. And then I would say, since we went to three, that to provide a pathway to continue, that this difficult conversation was difficult. You were given mercy, some points of justice that you perhaps read in there, and then a way that relationship continues. This is never just about an issue and winning a debate. It is almost always about a life lived and somebody who wants a life lived well. Mm-hmm. And so and if you see it like that, that means you're probably going to have to put yourself in their shoes for a little while. And then be as strong, and that makes you the strongest advocate that you could possibly be, mm-hmm. because you understand, and then you can also persuade and then walk with that person in the future. Now, some of the people who argued against my position and did a beautiful job, it was just like a point of light. They argued with me. I remember I was at the Heritage Foundation. There were people there at that time that were pro-life. There were people there that were pro-choice, libertarian, kind of like me. But I remember having these arguments and then moving on.
Right.
And they'll never know that they planted a seed in my mind and in my heart that didn't die. Mm-hmm. And so I would just say be happy with the seeds you plant, even if you never see the fruits, because they may be found in heaven if you didn't see them here on earth. And maybe you asked me a question beyond that I'm not really sure.
No, that answers it. A couple of things I just want to pull out that I think are important to note. One of the things I hear you saying is people who were courageous enough to say something made a difference, even if they didn't know it. And sometimes it's a little bit scary to even say the truth, because we don't know if we're going to offend, if we're going to mess it up, if we're going to get in trouble, if we're going to say it wrong. Mm-hmm. But what you're saying is a lot of these people along the way who you encountered said things that made a difference. Another thing I hear you say, which I really respect about you, is once you see, you can't unsee. once you saw the truth, you did something about it. My
Mm-hmm.
daughter saw something this weekend. She's 9. And so she told me I had to do something about it. And I said, no, you saw it. You have to do something about it. Well,
Oh,
what
yeah,
can I
that's
do?
right.
I said, well, you're 9, do something. Well, I'm just a child. And I said, don't ever put just in front of you. I don't ever want to hear I'm just a woman. I'm just a child. I'm just a, if you saw it, you are now responsible. And I love that you were in college, you saw it, and you started to do something about it. You didn't make excuses for how disempowered you are. And in so doing, you have empowered so many people. The third thing that I want to draw out about your approach, which you haven't mentioned, but I know this about you don't just advocate for the lives of the preborn. You also strongly advocate that we support mothers because pro-life is a 360 conversation. If we're going to support life, we have to support the lives of the mothers too. And when you're in these conversations with mothers who are feeling vulnerable and afraid and considering abortion, they're not considering it for some of the reasons that we see splashed across headlines. They're considering it because they don't have support. They don't have the resources. They don't have what they need to raise a child. They're in a desperate situation. And we have to support mothers if we want to support the lives that they're carrying. And one of the things I like about what you do in your organization is you support the lives of mothers. And I heard that in your answer just now. We have to be very compassionate and sympathetic to the people who are in the situation of having to make this decision and not to shame and bury in our conversations or in our tone people who have made this decision, whose minds could be changed if we just approach the conversation differently. I really appreciate that.
That was.
Your daughter and you have just given me chills in the way you described her approach to a problem, yours inspiring her as a mentor and mother, father as well, always there. I think you were going to say something. I didn't want to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
But yes, 100% yes. Every single potential aborted child, someone sent into this world to do a job, solve a problem that only they could solve, who is in danger of being aborted, has a mother with root cause issues that must be addressed. There's a reason that she is attracted to that abortion center door, and they are not simple. They are
Right.
not because she is just a bad human being,
Correct.
because she's every single woman is different. And there are a range of reasons, and we've studied them well, that that are practical reasons that we, I believe, are obligated to address. And one of the things that we've done over the past 3.5, 4 years, anticipating the overturn of Roe, and a very different world that we hope we'll be living in that embraces life, is making sure that in every state that is ambitious for life, we have mapped out well every service to woman and child across the range of reasons that women generally identify are why they were attracted to that abortion center, and that those places are known, that they're well networked, that there's an access point to her, that we're working closely with governors and with state legislators on the legislative side, but on the pure community side. Where are those places? You live in Georgia and up near the mountains, and there's a place that can help you with food, a cycle of poverty when it comes to food. But what about you want to get your GED
Right.
and you're going to have to leave? So the all of those things being connected, and they all know about each other
Right.
within a culture of life, and not giving her the abortion as the quote easy out, is, just to wrap up my thoughts here, is exactly how Susan B. Anthony, the woman who gave women the entryway to being involved in politics in the first place, is how she thought about this, that every woman and her child is inextricably linked. Their rights are completely impossible to separate. And to give her an abortion as the quote solution to her problem is to have is to invite repercussions throughout the culture that you will never identify and can't and perhaps can't solve. So that's what we're about,
Right.
right? You
That's
and
what
me together, all of us.
That's really good. I mean, I hear in that too. If you want to help people embrace the dignity and the sanctity of the life of a child in the womb, you have to begin by honoring and embracing the dignity and the sanctity of the life of the person with whom you're dialoguing to
Yes.
begin with.
Yes.
So, no, that's
Yeah.
great. I'd like to pivot if we can, and we may have to continue this this issue on the other side of the break, but I want to at least tee up the question. Since the Dobbs decision, and for our audience, what the Dobbs decision did was it overturned Roe v. Wade, not by outlawing abortion, but by saying it wasn't a federal issue, it was an issue that needed to be decided state by state. So it kicked the issue back to the states and said, you each state decide for yourselves with the people in your legislatures how you want to regulate abortion, whether you prohibit it outright or if there's a certain point where you say abortion is wrong, it's not going to happen. So I'm going to ask you a question about that, Marjorie, on the other side of this break. For now, we're going to pause, but we'll be right back with Marjorie Dannenfelser. Support her work and the work of her organization at sbaprolife.org. Take a moment to look at that website, make a donation, subscribe to our podcast, Stand with Kelly and Nikki Chewbacca on YouTube. We're at The Stand Show. Stand by. We'll see you on the other side of the break.